Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, the Pitchfork Music Festival is taking over Union Park this weekend. The festival starts on Friday, and it features headliners Solange, A Tribe Called Quest, and LCD Sound System. On Sunday night, my next guest will be on stage, the solo indie rock sounds of Hamilton Lighthouser.
I had a dream that you were mine. I've had that dream a thousand times, a thousand times, a thousand times. I've had that dream a thousand times. I left my room on the west side, all from noon until the night. I changed my crowd, I ditched my time. I watched the sparks fly off the fire. I found your house, I didn't even try.
Hamilton Lighthouser is a New York-based singer-songwriter by way of Washington, D.C. He was the frontman of the Walkmen, which are currently on hiatus. Lighthouser teamed up with Rostam, formerly of Vampire Weekend, to collaborate on the album I Had a Dream, You Were Mine, which was considered one of the best of 2016. Lighthouser will be on stage at 4:15 on Sunday at Pitchfork. But first, he's my guest tonight on The Download. Hamilton, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You come to Chicago a lot, I would assume, not only with your solo work, but with the Walkmen. Talk about playing Chicago. What's it mean to you to be back at the Pitchfork Music Festival?
I would say, in all honesty, that most of my favorite memories of ever being in a band take place in Chicago. It was always like the first place that we felt, the first town that ever embraced the Walkmen. Like, before we put out our first record, we played down at like the Empty Bottle, and it was like one of the only places in the country that went well. And so from there on out, it was always like this sort of home away from home. And then actually my sister lived there for about 7 years while we were touring through. So it was always like it was sort of a home base for me for a long time.
The Walkmen came through and played Pitchfork at one point, and you know, you play a lot outdoors and festivals. Talk about as a solo artist and having having to get up on stage in front of a festival crowd outside. Do you change the way you approach your music when you have to perform in that kind of venue as opposed to the Empty Bottle?
I was playing at the Roskilde Festival outside of Copenhagen last week.
Yeah.
And I went on stage at something like 11 p.m., and right across from me was the XX. I was playing against the XX, and they have these, like, sub-bass songs that are so loud.
Right.
And I was really trying to go for this nuanced thing. I mean, I have a lot of quieter material that I really like playing. And I think in the old days, we would have just thrown the quiet stuff out and just kicked the doors down for an hour. But I just stuck with it, and I was glad I did. I think it was a little rumbly, and it was a little funny, but no, I sort of am a little more stubborn these days, and I just stick with the game plan.
That's hard at a fest. You're right, because they set those stages up adjacent to each other, and you'll have like hardcore rap on one stage.
Every once in a while you run into one of these things, and it's a little funny.
On this tour, talk about what you bring with when you play at Pitchfork. I mean, because you've done the collaboration with Rostam, you've done other stuff, but what do we see when you bring the band and bring the music to Chicago?
I have a touring band of all guys from other bands that I've met over the year, a guy from Spoon and two guys from the White Rabbits right now, and I'm actually hiring an extra guy, so I'll have a five-piece band, and we play most of the stuff off the new record. I play a couple older ones, and actually I have I have all these brand new songs. I was thinking about debuting one or two of them at the Pitchfork Festival.
Do you like to do?
To be seen.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, is that something that at that high profile of a place like Pitchfork that you feel?
We did it last time we were there. I remember we debuted our song "Stranded" there, the Walkman song,
wow.
And it was fun. It gets on the internet. That's the kind of thing that people start hearing your song for the first time.
Right, right.
So you kind of want to make sure you're ready. This week I'm sort of figuring out whether or not I'm going
to
do that.
What do you have to do to get ready? I mean, is it just a matter of arrangements and rehearsals?
I don't know. Psych yourself up. Look in the mirror. Give yourself a couple winks.
Right. As you know, you talked about your time with the Walkman, and you guys were able to create such a distinct sound. To move on and have a solo career, especially one that you collaborate with a lot of artists, do you find yourself doing a different kind of sound than the collaborations of the past when you let yourself be a solo artist?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, every time you have another strong personality writing the music or even just playing in the room with you, everything, it can change the sound dramatically. And so, working with the guys in the Walkman, we had our sound, and we really developed it over the years and had a very signature sound. And when I worked with Rostam, that was just turned on its head, and it sounds completely different. Nobody would ever mistake one record.
Right.
Nobody would ever think that sounds like a Walkman record. Right now, I'm working alone, and it sounds different than either the others, because I've never been the guy in charge of all the instruments. I've always been sort of the front man and play the guitar a little bit. But now I've got all the drums and the works under my command. And so it definitely has its own sound again.
As an artist, when you work in that kind of form, especially in collaboration with other artists and there might be other dominant personalities in the room, is it hard to get used to that? I mean, once you know your role, like you said, you knew your role as the front man, but now that all bets are off and you're a solo artist and you're working with other great artists, whether they be guitar players or singers or songwriters, do you find yourself, I mean, is that a challenge as an artist to let yourself be open to that?
Well, the hardest thing for me was when I started out was I've been doing this for a long time, so trying to develop a new personality and it's still me, and I all those songs in the Walkman, I was a big part of writing all those, and so to come up with this clean break was really difficult and sort of a little bit contrived at first. And then I think I found a balance, and I think by the time I got to the end of my first record and then on the second record here, I think I found my own voice independent of the voice that I had all those years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always going to be the same guy. It's just, it's hard to sort of justify why you're making a record outside of the Walkman. So it's got to be, there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
It's not just different. It's got to have its own justification for existing.
The music, I mean, especially on I Had a Dream, You Were Mine, I mean, there's a rock soul sound to it, very 50s, 60s style. I mean, there's been a lot of reviews to point this out, but I mean, what gravitates you to that sound, the sound of the constructed, almost perfect rock soul sound from the 50s, 60s?
In the 50s, I mean, so much of my favorite music and recording sound come from the 50s, so that's just a no-brainer. I mean, Rostam too, so that's where we meet. And we didn't even talk about it, but we both know, I knew Vampire Weekend, he knew the Walkman, we both know the other guy loves everything from the 50s. The soul music, one night working on it was really early on, I think it was even the first time we got together, and we're working on that song When the Truth Is, and I had some singing, and it was sort of sounding good, but we cut out for the night, and I went back to my room and I watched the Muscle Shoals documentary that came out a couple years ago, and I just got so fired up watching all those people. They can just belt it out and just spark, and they're so great. And the next day we got up and we started working early in the morning, and it was 7:45 in the morning, and I was like, all right, I got this, and we just went for it, and that brought a big soul singer kind of barky sound, which I was really proud of, actually. I was drowning out the night with the last of the watch, and my story began to unwatch. So I gathered all the shards of a glass from the bar, and I left from 17th Street the same.
Walkman, of course, lore of being a part of a New York scene and the aughts and the bands like the Strokes and Yeah Yeahs and all the others that were in there. You guys were a part of that scene. And being a solo artist and staying in New York City and having the ability to play with Rostam from Vampire Weekend or being able to cross over and continue to collaborate with New York musicians, what's it mean to be a part of that scene when you're not in the Walkman, when you're an artist that looks to collaborate with others?
Well, you know what the thing is that back when I was younger, in about, whatever, 1990, the second half of the 90s and the early 2000s, there were so many bands around, and I really was friends with a lot of these people, and they'd have practice spaces where you'd eat, and you'd run into these people everywhere. And at some point, maybe it was when I had kids, everybody left, and everybody has left New York. And New York is really, I think that the real reason is, in the end, because New York is a really tough city to be a musician in anymore, because it's just so expensive. It's so hard to find a practice space that you can afford where there's not some heavy metal drummer literally on the other side of a piece of drywall all day, every day. And I've been down that road for like 15 years, so I've had you know, hundreds of practice spaces around the city. And I think what it really comes down to is that it's kind of priced most of the musicians out. I mean, when I go to Nashville and L.A. and Montreal and stuff now, and I run into another person, and I think, oh, my God, you live here, too? And, you know, I realize they've left, and I really don't run into that many musician friends anymore in New York.
And I guess you don't have to, because the ability to collaborate online even is available that wasn't necessarily available 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, that, you know, we did that a lot in the later days of the Walkman, but in the end, it's so much better to be in the room together. Well, I thought Rostam and I were going to do that when we got together. I figured that we were going to pick up where the Walkman left off and we'd be emailing ideas back and forth, but we actually didn't do that. We actually got into the room and wrote everything right there together for 4 or 5 days. And then we'd just be exhausted, and then I'd fly home for 6 weeks. And we really wouldn't, okay, you'd have a bounce to listen to, but we wouldn't really email. Occasionally, I'd send an idea back and forth, but we'd kind of wait until the next time I got there.
Yeah.
And then we'd pick it up, and we'd do it together in the room again, and that's like how you just bring a lot more life to it.
Well, you can hear it. I Had a Dream, You Were Mine, considered one of the best albums of 2016. Hamilton Lighthouser, who teamed up with Rostam, formerly of Vampire Weekend. Hamilton's going to be at the Pitchfork Music Festival coming up on Sunday. Thanks so much, Hamilton Lighthouser, for joining us tonight and taking some time out. We appreciate it.
All right. Nice to talk to you. I live in a nameless town. No need to want. I live in a nameless town, blackout. Many friends have said goodbye, hurried it out.